Hey, what's good? Today we're going to jump right in chapter 22. Hope all is well. If you have been listening, we've been going through the 31 Proverbs day by day. What we have done is doubled up and even tripled up some of the chapters in the core of Proverbs simply because they start to say the same things over and over and over again. We see them say things about let me be more specific. It's talking more about King Solomon and his views on folly, not being lazy, following wisdom, gaining wisdom, getting understanding. The core of the book of Proverbs, six chapters 10 through up to 22 as we are now, are assorted sayings, no themes, no flowing, and using antithetical parallelism. We talked about that. Go back, check on chapter 10 and 11, break down what antithetical parallelism is. And we get through these things and these different sayings that he says over and over and over again. When we get to chapter 22, I want to point out one verse that really sticks out to me. Because once again, as I have said, and I keep saying it because it is very true, we are living in a time of information, not wisdom. And more importantly, we are living in a time where people, especially the body of Christ, would rather float on prayers, promises, and poems and psalms and principle. Principle is what we need. The book of Proverbs is full of principles of how to be successful regardless of what you choose to do. Okay, I'm gonna break that down a little bit more, but this is why I say it's about principles, the foundation of a thing, so a thing can be effective and grow. Check this out. Chapter 22, verse 8. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. When I say this is about principle, the whole book is about principles. He's given us different things that he has seen and witnessed through his own life. It's King Solomon, very wise. He made great mistakes, and he's been blessed to be able to live past his mistakes, to be able to point out where his mistake was, to tell everyone about what to not do, to not make the same mistakes, to not get the results he got. He got God on his bad. He got on God's bad side. Again, I'm going to read it. Proverbs 22:8. Train up a child, 22:6. Thank you, Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we've heard that scripture plenty of times before in sermons and songs and all kind of stuff. But I want to break something down. Train up a child in the way he should go. In the way he should go. This does not say train up a child in the word of God. It does not say train up a child to be a pastor, apostle, preacher, evangelist, prophet. This says train up a child in the way he should go. This is telling you how you train up your child, that's the way they are going to go. Even when he is all he wants to part from. In other words, it's like having a conversation and you're talking to someone and you're trying to give them advice about what to do with their child and they don't want to listen. And then you just say, you know, train up a child in the way he should go. Do whatever you think is right. But when he gets older, that is what they're going to revert to. It's truth. It's a principle that is put out here and it's said here because it's truth. And you can see it in your lives around you. If, in fact, your child was raised around pimps, hoes, and drugs and that street life, excuse my French, not to be too forward, but it's the truth. Whores, if you want to say that, I apologize if I offended you. The child is raised around that and see a child and the child sees his mom getting beat and treated any kind of way and he sees pimps and how pimps have money and have control and dominance over women and things around them. That child is going to grow up thinking that that's how a man should be, whether they're a boy or girl. And they're also going to grow up thinking that's the place a woman should be. And it gives in that mind, in that child, in their mind of what things should be and how things should be when they get older. So when they get into a relationship, what do you think they're going to try to emulate? Is that what I'm saying? It's the same thing with the church. Same thing with people. What you put in front of them to learn as a child is going to be stayed in front. It's going to be put in front of them and stay on their mind. They're going to revert to that unless they learn differently. Train up a child in where they should go. So here's the thing that another thing that I want to put out here and let people know. You never know. You have no idea how sin is going to be. The consequences are going to lead the consequences to your family. What I'm mean by saying is this. I know it sounds like a word jumble. We're going to lead the consequences to your family. So if a father sins, a father cheating his wife. Okay? Comes back home. They end up getting a divorce. That man sinned. That man didn't keep his word. This is used that sin. That man didn't keep his word. He got caught cheating. He cheated, whatever the case may be. He has no idea the consequences that are going to come back to him and his family for him cheating. Some just say, well, they got divorced. That's it. You sure that's it? How does that child feel about cheating? How does that child feel about her father and her mother? How does that wife look at husbands and men? Because her husband, whom she vowed to be with for the rest of her life, cheated on her. What are the consequences from cheating? It's not just divorce. It's way deeper and there's a whole lot more. You know what I'm saying? You didn't understand that once you got divorced and this wife you're going to get, she's going to come with her own baggage with her 2, 3, 4 kids, 2 or 3 different baby daddies, and you got to deal with all the other stuff now. Because that's the only kind of person you're going to end up being with, because you know you are known to be a cheater. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not the life you want to have going into as a man, but you cheated. When you were younger, in younger days, you didn't think it'd be that bad because possibly that's how you were taught. You were trained up in that manner. See how it all goes together? It's a principle. But if you were raised in the Word of God and you saw a praying family, a praying mom, whatever, you went to church and you learned something, you just didn't go out of religion, things are different for you. You're going to revert back to what you saw, grandma, daddy, mommy, uncle, whatever they reverted to, which was the Word of God. That was my case. I was blessed to be in a family who didn't play church. We lived in, became a church. And we understood this was the way to go. This is it. This is how we're going to see each other when it's all said and done. The Word of God. So I want you to go back through chapter 22, read it, gain some principles for yourself. Chapter 22, verse 6 stuck out for me more of anything. And verse 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I shall be killed in the street. I want you to keep in mind what it says here. It says the sluggard says. The sluggard, someone who is lazy and finds excuses to not do such a thing. He's going to say whatever he has to say to not get the job done. I mean, this is chapter. The chapter's full of it, as a lot of them are, but it's getting more, the book is getting more, more away from antithetical parallelism and getting into more principled things that have a more response and consequence kind of thing. Action and consequence, kind of a proverb. So check it out, and I'll catch you back in chapter 23. Peace, love, and happiness. Peace. Yo, we back here with chapter 23. Keeping it going. Almost done with the book of Proverbs. 23 is different. It's a blessing. Because I am excited and very interested to hear something different besides what we have been reading with the antithetical parallelism. And when we get to chapter 23, which is very, very different. Because chapter 23 is King Solomon continuing to talk, and it is 12 admonitions that a father gives his son. One of the admonitions speak about wine. Another admonition speaking about do not toil to gain wealth. A different thing he talk about as a father talks to his son to discipline him, to give him encouragement, and to guide him the right way. Teaches him to acquire wisdom. Chapter 19, do not be a glutton. In 20 and 21, gives him encouragement. Again, avoid the harlot and the married woman that's trying to be a harlot with you. Avoid intoxication. That was the last 7 verses ever about that. Avoiding intoxication and being smart. These are simply proverbs. These are simply information and simply good advice that a father gives his son, as a man gives his a mentor, things of that nature like that. Very important that a man who has experienced some things in his life, as King Solomon, takes the time to tell a young man about the dangers of being drunk, the dangers of being around a man who doesn't really care about you, the dangers of being around folly and things of nature that like that, and don't do it. Verse 8 says, do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. How important is it that we understand or be taught to know somebody's heart towards you and their spirit towards you when they're dealing with you. That is so often not done, and young men and people period go towards anyone who says they're interested in you or you have potential to do something awesome or great, and they're trying to use you. Very, very good proverb and a very, very good break from the antithetical parallelism into this right here. He sits down with his son, as a man should, as a father should. Sit down with your young ones, teach them up, raise them up, and show them and tell them what needs to be said. It's not so much anything that's off the wall or crazy, but it's very, very, very good. Again, a couple of verses that stuck out to me, of course, was Proverbs 23 and chapter 8. Is it? Anyone else? Oh, no, that was it right there for those right there. 23 and 8. Because dealing with people is something that we all will have to continue to learn how to do because they can drive you crazy. And, that was the only one that stuck out with me. You know, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to give it to you straight, give it to you real. Any comments, questions, or concerns, by all means, hit me up. This is a book of principles, not prophecies, poems, and prayers. This book is built upon information that's needed to be given to build a foundation and live a successful and effective life for Christ. All right? Can't wait to see you in 24. Let's get it. Peace. Oh, yeah, we back with it with 24. The reason I kept this put 3 in this one is because chapter 24 continues Solomon's sayings to his son from a father. These are very, very helpful because these proverbs in this chapter help you understand and give insight of how to deal with people in a more dynamic way. It's not as broad as it was in 23. You know, but like when it says, do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy, or do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. This is more detailed and gives more insight a little bit. For instance, if it says, you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's very forward. It's telling you that this isn't about you. This is about your makeup and who you are and how you deal with people. Because if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You don't need to talk big about nothing else. Let's go back up to verse 5, and it says, A wise man is full of strength, and the man of knowledge enhances his might. And for by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counsel there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. And the gate he does not open his mouth. Whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of a folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. In verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But it just tells you that a wise man is full of strength. Now, what kind of strength and what you have will be told and put on display in the day of adversity. People talk a good game, but when it comes down to that fight or flight, it is real. Some of y'all take flight with ease. Some of y'all fight to fly, just to get away. I like verse 17. This speaks a lot too, and I had to catch myself, and I tell others about this too. And I read it. It says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, turn away his anger from him. I read 18 again. Lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Now, I say this a lot because it's the truth. One person's failure is not your success or your victory. You're not better than the next person. They're not better than you. You may thrive at different things in different ways. I may thrive at being at lifting weights more than someone else does. You know, I'm 6'4", 280. I've been lifting weights since I was 14 years old. You understand what I'm saying? It could be different for me. Played ball at the high level, did all that good stuff. So it's different for me than someone else who has not lifted weights at that, or played ball at the point where they had to lift weights to be bigger, faster, and stronger. But that does not mean they cannot be useful or are useful for the community or the kingdom. And if you do fall, it's not my win, because you got to get picked back up, because you are useful for the kingdom.
whatever it is that you are doing, whatever it is that God has equipped you for, you are useful for the kingdom. Now, let me keep this straight. If you continue to do dumb stuff and continue to fall, it's not a mistake. That's a choice. The choice you continually make that leads to bad consequences and bad results. Still not my victory because you fail. Something's wrong. You have a problem and you may need help and counseling. So, strongly suggest that, excuse me. So, chapter 24, again, great wisdom. Great wisdom that Solomon is giving out to his son. Go back and read it, go through it. Again, it talks about wisdom. In my opinion, the theme of this, if there could be a theme in this, is how to deal with others. It talks about do not envy evil men. The house is built by wisdom. Do not ignore the victim. The sweetness of wisdom. Fear God and the king. Do not envy evil men. Have a polite response to people. How to build a house with people. Do not jump to testify against another. It talks about all these things and it has to do with correlation dealing with people and how you deal with them. How to be mindful of them more than they talked about in chapter 23. So go take your time, read chapter 24. Full of great principles by King Solomon. And we will have more in chapter 25 when we get there. All right. Peace, love, and happiness.